Welcome to the Real Estate Guys Radio Show. In real estate, the more value we create, the more cash flow we can have, and the more our property is worth over time. Today, we're going to talk about value creation and specific niches within real estate that can be exceptionally profitable today. And we've got a great guest on the Real Estate Guys Radio Program. If you've been listening to the Real Estate Guys for a while, then you've heard about the legendary Investor Summit. Simply put, it's the highest level event we do, and the content, faculty, and attendees are amazing. If you're serious about taking your real estate investment to the next level, consider joining us. You'll spend more than a week with like-minded investors, world-class educators, and real-world professionals, and you'll have a blast. It all begins June 11th, 2020 in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Visit realestateguysradio.com and click the tab that says Summit to learn more and get on the advance notice list. We'll spend 2.5 days on land, learning and networking, then jump aboard a luxury cruise ship for more classes, roundtable discussions, great dinner conversations, and a ton of fun. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click Summit and make plans to hang out with the Real Estate Guys and an all-star faculty on the 18th annual Investor Summit at Sea. Welcome to the Real Estate Guys Radio Show. I'm your host, Robert Helms. With me, as usual, it's our co-host and financial strategist, Russell Gray.
Hey, Robert.
You know, anytime you talk about a formula, you're going to get Russ's attention. And today, we're going to talk about a value creation formula. And it's really not all that. It's just this concept that in real estate, one of the greatest things is that we get to create value. The reason people will have an economic exchange with us, say paying rent for living in our unit, is because it's a value. It's a value to them. It's a value to us. And of course, in our vernacular, we talk about something that's called forcing equity, meaning creating the value in a property by doing something to change it or to make it better or to improve it. And one of the great things about real estate compared to any other asset is that many of the things that will increase its value are in your control.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, these guys that go in and take over businesses that are dysfunctional or start a business from scratch are creating value. But you can make the argument it takes a lot more savvy to be able to figure out how to turn a failing business around or how to start a business from scratch. Real estate gives a investor the same opportunity to create value. The thing is, the formula, if you will, the secret to doing it is not all that complex. And you often can get a lot of the work done through other people. You just have to give direction to it. And the thing that I love about formulas, you talked about that, you know, that I like formulas. I like formulas because they're like recipes. The whole point of having a recipe is so that a master chef can figure out what they did to create something that is just delicious and then break it down in such a way that somebody else can come along and follow the recipe and produce the same result. And so when a real estate entrepreneur figures out in any asset class or any sector or product niche how to go in and create value by formula, by doing a set of things routinely, they can learn to do those things fairly efficiently. They can produce more often than not a predictable result. And then it's something that you can look at as an investor and say, hey, that makes sense. I can invest in that because I understand exactly what's going to happen and what the probable outcome is.
Now, of course, not all real estate assets are created equally. And our show looks at all things real estate, right? There's great shows out there on specific niches within real estate, but the Real Estate Guys are much more about the broader picture, not only when it comes to real estate, but broader picture economics. That's why we focus on a lot more than just specific real estate markets. But you got to start at the top and then drill down to what works for you. We spend a lot of time talking about your personal investment philosophy, what makes you unique and different than any other real estate investor. And part of getting that figured out is figuring out who you are, what you have to work with, and what you're interested in. Today, we've got a guest who's got a wide variety of background in real estate. He's done a whole bunch of stuff over the last nearly 20 years, and we're going to talk about some of these things specifically in terms of what niches make sense to create the most value today. When we come back, you'll meet Paul Moore today on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
Are you achieving everything you want in life? What if there was a time-tested way for you to get everything you've dreamed of? The most successful people in life set goals and keep themselves accountable. But how? The good news is that it's not rocket science. You too can learn the skills and unleash the motivation that will create success in your life. And now is the time. Hi, this is Robert Helms, and I'd like to personally invite you to attend Create Your Future, the 2020 Goals Retreat, January 17th to 19th in beautiful Lake Las Vegas, Nevada. This unique weekend has been called phenomenal, inspirational, and life-changing by the thousands of people that have attended. Hear from some of them and find out more at realestateguysradio.com under events or call 888-489-7723, extension 18. Get your life back on track physically, spiritually, and financially. Attend the 2020 Goals Retreat on the third weekend of the new year. Click events at realestateguysradio.com to register. This is no dress rehearsal. Live the life you were meant to. Visit realestateguysradio.com or call 888-489-7723, extension 18 today.
Do you have a self-directed IRA invested in a syndication? Guess what? It's a ticking time bomb. Why? Because IRAs get hit with UBIT taxes, even Roth IRAs. Hi, I'm Damian Lupo, and we fix this problem for you forever. It gets even better because using the EQRP, you can literally get rid of taxes from all of your gains forever and protect your nest egg. The EQRP is the best vehicle to get it done. IRAs can't do it, not even Roth IRAs. You see, UBIT happens whenever any type of IRA invests in anything with debt. Don't worry. Even if your IRA is already invested in a deal, we can kill that tax. Our team at Total Control Financial is here to give you control of your retirement money and free you from that deadly IRA tax forever. Want to learn more about the EQRP? Send an email to eqrp@realestateguysradio.com. I'll email you my special report and send you a copy of the QRP book. Paying a 37% UBIT tax is stupid. First step to getting rid of that tax is to send an email to eqrp@realestateguysradio.com today.
Hi, this is Steve Forbes. You're listening to The Real Estate Guys. Have fun. You'll learn something.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys, a radio program heard every weekend on this great radio station, all the time at realestateguysradio.com. We're talking about the value formula when it comes to investing in real estate, specifically the different types of product niches and classes within real estate. And to help us do that, let's meet a gentleman that knows a lot about a lot of different kinds of real estate. Hello, Mr. Paul Moore. How are you?
Hey, great to be here, Robert.
Well, it's great to have you on the program as an accomplished author, fellow podcaster, and all-around real estate guy. You've been investing in real estate for nearly 20 years.
Yeah, I started in 2000. I actually had a company in Michigan, and we sold it to a publicly traded firm. And I found myself at 33, not sure what I wanted to do, and called myself semi-retired. But I also called myself an investor. And that was foolish because I didn't know the first thing about investing. And I found myself, actually, I was a speculator. You know, Robert, when investing is when your principal is generally safe.
Yep.
And you've got a chance to make a return. And speculating is when your principal is not at all safe. And you've got a chance to make a return. I found myself as a speculator. I thought I was an investor, but I learned some hard lessons over the years. But I'm all in on investing now.
Such a distinction. I think a lot of folks who try to buy low and sell high are speculators. And you can make money that way, but you can lose money that way. And if you go the other direction, which is I'm an investor and I want the return of my capital to come back with friends, and I'm more prudent, more careful, doesn't mean you won't lose money. It just means you're thinking differently about it, which is huge.
Right. It's absolutely true. You know, I found myself over the years, it's fine to speculate. You know, as long as you do it with a measured amount of your capital, because if you keep playing double or nothing with all of your capital, you know, you'll land on nothing at some point, and then you'll have nothing left to double. I love Paul Samuelson, the first Nobel Prize winner in economics from the U.S. He said, investing should be more like watching paint dry or watching grass grow. If you want excitement, take $800 and go to Las Vegas.
Yeah, exactly. No one would consider that an investment other than in a good time. Well, let's talk about this idea of value creation through real estate. It's why we invest in real estate, because we're going to create cash flows. We're going to create tax benefits. We're going to create an increase in equity and value over time. But not all real estate is created equal.
Right, that's true. You know, I was looking at the question once of what is true wealth. And I think wealth can be defined, at least one definition of it could be assets that produce income. And single family homes, which I've invested in for many, many years, they do that. But what I realized at one point was that there is a value formula in commercial real estate. And I didn't realize this when I was speculating and even when I was doing single family homes. You know, if you're Chip and Joanna Gaines Jr. and you can create the most beautiful home, you know, you can take a $300,000 home and add gold plated fixtures and finish the basement and the attic and everything else, you've still got, you know, if you're in a $300,000 neighborhood, you're probably not going to get $700,000 for that home. But in commercial real estate, the value is different. It's based on a value formula. And a value formula is it's income divided by rate of return, or specifically the net operating income divided by the cap rate. And that means we can force appreciation. And that's one thing I love about commercial real estate.
Yeah, absolutely. You have two buildings next to each other built at the same time by the same builder that are identical in square footage. If one has more rent and it's durable, verifiable rent, it's going to sell for more, right? Income property is based on the two things. You buy a property and you get the income and you get the property. And I think it's part of why we see returns in certain asset classes today going down, cap rate compression, because we have more people bidding for that same stream of income.
Right. It's absolutely true. And, you know, the lower interest rates has been part of that formula, but you've also got international money coming in at record pace. You've got the Jobs Act of 2012, which opened the door for a lot more syndicators. You've got 1031 exchange money, IRA money, institutional money chasing smaller and less stabilized deals. You've got all these factors driving down the cap rate, and it's making it really, really hard to get a good deal in this day and age.
You know, it's funny how that works. For many years, I taught real estate at the college level, and I always knew when the classes started getting bigger, it was not a good time to invest in real estate, right? When the classes were smaller, that meant it was a pretty good time, because the more people that are interested in it, it seems, you know, the worse it could be in the future. But there's never a bad time to invest in real estate if you're smart about it, if you pick your markets, if you pick your product types carefully. So you've bounced around, you've done multifamily, you've written books on multifamily, you've done different commercial assets. Talk about what you're focusing on now. And why?
Well, you know, after chasing multifamily deals for a number of years, my partners and I that started our company were in our 50s, and we didn't really want to overpay for assets. Been there, done that, helped start a Hyatt hotel that crashed and burned, and had lots of trouble over the years with, you know, just overpaying or buying the wrong asset or not being recession resistant. So we were very conservative, and so we kept getting overbid on multifamily deals. And we finally looked outside of multifamily, and we looked at self-storage, we looked at mobile home parks, and we realized there was a factor for those two asset classes that was very different. You know, only 7% of multifamily that's over 50 units are owned by individual investors or operators. 93% are owned by companies, and many have wrung the value out of those apartments. But about 76% of self-storage and about 90% of mobile home parks are still owned by mom and pop or individual operators. And there's a lot of meat left on the bone. It's basically a fragmented ownership base. And that alone makes these two asset classes a unique opportunity that won't last forever, however.
This is a huge point. I'm glad you brought this up, Paul, because one of the things about real estate is it's inefficient. The stock market, you could argue, perfectly efficient. It's going to sell at whatever buyers and sellers are trading at today. You could say the same about the metals, even oil and gas. But real estate, you can find that seller who has different or extra motivation, and you can cut a great deal based on your knowledge. You can buy in the path of progress. There's a lot of things you can do. But the seller side, this is intriguing. A professional seller, a REIT, a pension fund, one of these big companies you're talking about, they're not going to leave a lot of meat on the bone. And that's not really their mission. Their mission is they're going to get in, do the work they're going to do, hold it for whatever period of time works for them, and sell it at market. If you buy everything at market, there's not that much opportunity on the upside. But when you have this fracturing of ownership and you have all these different owners and operators who are inefficient, that means you could come in and figure out some ways to create efficiency and therefore value. Add to that the fact that in the two asset classes you mentioned, a lot of the owner-operators are in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. there's certainly an opportunity here.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. There are, you know, they estimate that 40,000 of the 44,000 mobile home parks in the U.S. are owned by mom and pop operators, and they're getting up in age. Some of them live at the beach, or some of them live on site, and they don't like to rock the boat with their tenants. Some of them haven't raised the rents in years. Some of them don't know or care to fill vacant lots. They just want an easy life. And you, the opportunity is for a professional operator to acquire these assets, upgrade them to institutional standards, and then sell to an institutional like a REIT or a life insurance company on the other end. There's massive value and wealth that can be created by using this strategy.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk a little more about mobile home parks, because this is an asset class we've had our eye on for a long time. We've got a lot of listeners that invest in this. We've invested over the years in some of these types of properties. And what's interesting is they're not all created equal. Right. In some cases, as the park owner, you just own the land and rent the spaces. Sometimes you own some or all of the actual homes. There's a whole world of being able to sell and finance through some big companies these products. So talk about kind of the range and then specifically the kinds of opportunities you guys look for.
So you're right. There are mobile home parks that have all those different criteria. Most of the professional operators that we run into just really want to own the dirt and the infrastructure and lease out the lots to individual owners. And this creates basically a joint ownership aspect. You know, when I own an apartment building or when I own an individual mobile home, I'm just leasing to a tenant. But when I lease to somebody who is a homeowner, then there's actually a much higher responsibility level. And these tenants are really sticky. I mean, you know, if I'm renting an apartment to somebody for $1,000 a month and I raise the rent by 6%, you know, they're locking themselves in for another $60 a month, $720 a year. If they sign that lease, they may move. But if I have a $400 lot rent and I've upgraded a park beautifully and made it a nicer place to live and I bring it up to market rent by 6%, let's say $400 up to $424, it's very unlikely that they're going to spend $5,000 to move that mobile home down the street to save $24 a month, especially when that's probably just bringing it to market level anyway. So tenants are very sticky. Double wide owners might pay $10,000 to move it. They're just not likely going to move it. However, it's really important as owners and as operators, we don't take advantage of that fact, and we don't want to invest with folks that do that. But we're looking for operators who can go in and take a park up to institutional standards, make it a beautiful place to live, make it a community, then potentially be in a position to sell to an institutional.
Well, the fact that the person that leases the space owns the mobile home is one of my favorite things about this niche, for the reasons you said. They don't think like tenants. They think like owners because it's their home.
Right.
And the space rent is a relatively small amount compared to, say, if they finance the mobile home or just for someone who owns it for cash. It's not a lot of money. So you're right. That's not the first thing they think of to cut in their budget. It's the last thing they would think of. And you also have longer duration of tenancy than you do in virtually any other asset class.
Absolutely. Most mobile homes that get abandoned, they're abandoned because somebody passes away, the kids don't want it, or the person has to move out of town and they just leave it behind. And then it's possible to rehab that home for usually $1,000 to $4,000 and then sell it to a new tenant. And what's exciting is, you know, because Sam Zell and Warren Buffett and other people are in this space now, bank financing and other mortgage financing for this, not only for mobile home parks, but also now for individual mobile homes, is very available. And so that's an exciting new aspect. It's said also that Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae are going to get into the space, and they already do wonderful loans for mobile home parks. They've said that they're going to be doing individual loans for mobile homes as well.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, think about the value proposition to the owner slash tenant. They get a lot more square footage for the money. They have no common area walls. They have their own lot. They're leasing that lot, but it's their space. It doesn't, it feels so much different than, say, a condominium or apartment does. And for someone who can't afford a single family home, this is a great alternative. And especially because the point you mentioned, you've got these big companies that are very invested in being able to sell on terms the structure. Now you take a park where there maybe is some empty spaces or some dilapidated units. Pretty easy to get those moved on.
Yeah, it really is. You know what's amazing to me about this is there is a real affordable housing crisis. Did you know that 6 in 10 people turning 65 don't have any more than $10,000 saved for retirement, Robert? And 10,000 of these people turn 65 every day. Now, a lot of these folks have some equity in their home, and they might be willing to trade that in for a mobile home park lot rent and a mobile home, and they can live comfortably. There's a whole affordable housing segment that's doing that. And then there's also a lifestyle choice segment. One of my best friend's fathers was a respected doctor in Southern California, and he chooses to live in a mobile home because it's just he wants the community aspect. Like you said, he wants to be able to park at his front door. He wants a little yard, but he also wants that low lot rent that he gets with a mobile home.
We're talking today about value creation, specifically in mobile homes. Now, let's talk about within the mobile homes area, because there are parks that are 12 spaces and there are parks that are 1,000 spaces. What's kind of the sweet spot? What do you guys look for?
You know, a lot of the institutionals at this point in time have gone down to where they're looking for 100 lots or more.
Okay.
So we're generally trying to invest with best-in-class operators who are buying lots, parks that are, you know, roughly 100 lots or more. The way things are going, I'm guessing that number will drop a little bit in the future, maybe into the 70s or 80s.
Okay. Because there obviously are some efficiencies as you get up in number, just in terms of staffing and all that. And talk about that part of it. Because if we really are looking at a situation where ultimately there's going to be a lot of consolidation, then you would think some of management and even materials and those kinds of things getting more efficient would make sense. Speak to that part of it.
So the manager on site, you know, if you get a little bit larger park, you can usually afford to get a little bit better manager. Almost all the managers live on site. They typically get something like, free lot rent plus $10 per filled space. So they're motivated to keep those spaces filled, keep the tenants happy. It's really important to have a great manager, and that's possibly the number one challenge in this whole industry. And so when you get a little bit larger park, you can hopefully have a choice of a better manager, and that's pretty important.
And then what about efficiencies in a market? If you have the ability to pick up a park or two that are somewhat close to each other, is there any added benefit of that?
Yeah, a little bit, especially if you get a great manager at one that can keep an eye on the other ones. You get a sort of a regional manager aspect. And a lot of these folks are retired people who love this, love that opportunity. And so there is a little bit of efficiency in that as well.
You know, Paul, you've been in a lot of different real estate niches and asset classes, and obviously management is critical no matter what in real estate. But even raw land, you got to have someone watching the store. Certainly in multifamily, certainly in single family. But here, one of the nuances of mobile homes that are owned by the owner is you don't have the maintenance that you might have with an apartment building or even single family. I have a single family rental. There's a problem with the water heater. They call me. If someone in my mobile home park has a problem with their home, they don't call you.
Right. That's absolutely true. That's one of the things we love about this. We're basically leasing dirt and infrastructure, and they're responsible for their home. And everybody who has owned mobile homes, and by the way, I've had four of them myself. They were all, three of the four, I should say, were a disaster. I don't want to own mobile homes anymore. And mobile home park owners will tell you the same thing.
We'll talk more about that when we get back. It's Paul Moore with us today from Wellings Capital. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. Up next, real estate trivia. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Live nationwide, you're listening to the Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
Have you thought about adding agricultural real estate to your portfolio? Hey, it's Robert Helms. For years, we've been talking about the various ways to capitalize from the impending calorie crunch by investing in land that yields productive crops. The concept is sound, the need is proven, and it can be a great way to diversify by both product type and market. If that sounds interesting to you, consider joining me on a live opportunity tour to Panama and Paraguay this December. We'll learn firsthand about several specific opportunities and have lots of time over meals and activities to talk about all things real estate. To get the details, go to the website of realestateguysradio.com and click on events, where you'll find the Paraguay Citrus and Greenhouse Plantation Tour. If you'll cover your flights, the Paraguay Ag and Invest team will cover your hotel, tours, and meals. So join me in Panama and Paraguay, December 9th to 13th. Go to Real Estate Guys Radio under Events. Profit from farming without getting your hands dirty. Join me on the Paraguay Citrus and Greenhouse Plantation Opportunity Tour, and I look forward to spending time with you and learning together. That's realestateguysradio.com under Events.
Real Estate Guys listeners, are you tired of losing real estate deals due to financing issues? Have you had enough of waiting on banks, lenders, and investor groups to fund new projects? What if there were a way to eliminate all the hassle and invest in real estate on your own terms? I'm here to tell you there is. Patrick Donahoe here from Paradigm Life. I'm an Investopedia top 100 most influential financial advisor, and I recently wrote a best-selling book about the financial strategy that changed my entire investment model and the one that could change yours. To get a copy of my book for free and learn how you can maximize your real estate portfolio by acting as your own bank, send an email to mybank@realestateguysradio.com. Don't make another real estate deal without reading my book first. Email mybank@realestateguysradio.com now to get your copy for free.
Hi, this is Kevin Harrington, an original shark from the hit TV show Shark Tank, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. Hey, if you hurry, you can join us at the New Orleans Investment Conference, but you got to be quick. Just send an email to neworleans@realestateguysradio.com for all the details, including our special Real Estate Guys listeners party. That's neworleans@realestateguysradio.com. We're talking today about value creation and the value formula with Paul Moore. Before we get back to that discussion, it's time to play real estate trivia. That's your chance to win a prize by knowing today's real estate trivia question. Just a minute, I'll ask you the question. You come up with the answer and send your best guess to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Include your name, your mailing address, and the answer to the question, because the first person with the right guess gets an awesome book called Life-Defining Moments from Bold Thought Leaders, a collection of great stories, very inspirational. You're going to dig it. That can be yours if you know today's real estate trivia question. Last week on the show, we discussed alternative funding solutions with Billy Brown, and we asked this: which country is the hardest working? Well, according to the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the answer is the country of Mexico, with an average citizen there working 2,246 hours a year. That equates to a 43.2-hour work week. By the way, the other countries in the top five include Costa Rica, South Korea, Greece, and Chile. Here's to those hardworking folks. Now, here's our real estate trivia question for this week. The term manufactured home is the proper term for a factory-built home built after June 1976. Mobile home is the term used to describe homes built in a factory before June of 1976, when the HUD code went into effect. So here's our trivia question. Before 1953, there was another term that was used to describe such a home. What was it? Yeah, what were mobile homes or manufactured homes called before 1953? If you know or just want to guess, send your best guess to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Just include your name, the answer to the question, and your mailing address, so if you win, we can send you Life-Defining Moments from Bold Thought Leaders. That's today's real estate trivia question. We're talking with Paul Moore. He's a real estate investor, been in all kinds of markets and types of properties, and we're talking about mobile home parks. And Paul, this is an area you guys have been in for some time now. In fact, you've got a great report you've written. Not only is it great content-wise, it's beautiful, more than 30 pages. You've really put some effort into this. Before we're done today, we'll tell folks how they get a copy of the report. But one of the things you mentioned before we took the break was this idea that mobile home parks, as great as they are for the reasons we've talked about, and on the hierarchy of returns, definitely on the higher end, One of the challenges is it's a lot of work, especially the kinds of parks that are today on the market from these owners that have held them and are what I call lazy landlords. They haven't raised the rent. They haven't done the work. You come in, you see great opportunity, but you've got CapEx to manage. You've got this on-site management. It is a lot of work. The great news is the way that you guys operate, investors don't have to do that work.
Yeah, when we looked at this asset class along with self-storage a few years ago, we realized that if I was an investor, I wouldn't want to invest with somebody who knew on paper how to make these returns. And we knew how to make those returns on paper from a book, but we hadn't done it ourselves. We hadn't done it through the Great Recession. And so we looked long and hard at this and we decided as our company, Wellings Capital, our best use of our time would be to locate best-in-class operators in mobile home park space, for example, and who are getting outsized returns, who are eliminating or at least lowering the risk, who have a great acquisition pipeline, who have great management. And our best use would be to invest with them and then open up the door for investors, accredited investors, to invest with us, to invest with them. And so that's what we do. And that's one of the things that I love. I read the one thing, you know, Gary Keller's famous book, J-PAP is on Gary Keller. And I realized that, you know, narrowing our focus down on less things that we're experts at would be a great thing to do. And I fear as I talk to dozens of real estate investors every month that a lot of them are spending their nights and evenings and weekends and vacations chasing those elusive deals. And I was talking to one lady who said, you know, I just don't know how to get another single family house. I don't know what to do. I can't buy it in my town. They're too expensive. And she, all of a sudden, the light went on for her. And she said, wait a minute, why am I working harder than I need to make less than I could? And then she started thinking differently about passively investing with a professional operator.
Well, that's exactly the case for so many folks that are busy doing whatever they do to live, thrive, and survive. And they spend that little extra time, evenings and weekends, going out and either flipping houses or trying to figure out how to own more of them. And, you know, as we've talked about on the show a lot, your typical single family home, you get a tenant in, you get it purchased in the right market, you get management in place, and you're lucky to make $200 a month, which is awesome. Right? If that's all you do, that's going to be great 30 years from now. You'll be glad you did it, but you can make more sometimes by doing less work. The reason we love passive investing in something like a fund that you guys have is it lets you to have exposure to this product type and these markets without having all of the work to do yourself. You're dividing the return, but you're dividing the risk.
Right. It's absolutely true. You know, John D. Rockefeller is one of the wealthiest guys, if not the wealthiest in history. And he said, I would rather have the fruit of 1% of 100 people's effort than 100% of my own.
Absolutely. It makes so much sense. Not only that, real estate, for all of its wonderful attributes, is difficult on one important level. And that is when you decide you want to get out of a property, you've got time. You can't just instantly go to an exchange and sell the thing. And you've got costs, which can be significant. Every time I decide I want to get out of asset class A and move into asset class B within real estate, or market A and get into market B, I have exposure to that. But in a fund, you don't have that same exposure. Certainly, there'll be times that you guys buy and sell assets, but all of those costs is distributed by all of the investors. So talk about the funds, how they work. I know you've got a couple different funds that have kind of different personalities.
Yeah, so we have a growth fund and an income fund, and the growth fund is targeted at assets that have a very significant value add component or possibly ground up development that are not producing income. There's a little bit more risk, and we're extremely picky on how we vet those deals along with the operators, the geographies, et cetera. We've learned to say no a lot, and we've said yes to a few deals. The income fund, we're investing in assets that are already producing income, and investors are getting distributions quarterly from day one right out of the gate, but they're also getting a significant appreciation component. We love the diversification of being spread across in, for example, in the income fund, over 33 assets now in lots of different geographies. And the most important thing about that to us is that, you know, we're getting best-in-class operators who've been doing this since before the Great Recession. They're giving us a premium, which is one of the reasons I didn't want to start a fund. I thought, well, people could just go invest straight with the operator. Well, first of all, they don't typically know how to vet those operators. Secondly, we get a premium that actually offsets, in most cases, our fees. So actually the investors gain the diversification without getting a lower return. And because they're getting a K-1, they're getting all the tax benefits they'd get from owning their own and operating their own single family or any other type of house. In fact, sometimes more because, as you know, cost segregation and bonus depreciation on commercial real estate is powerful.
And it's become more powerful recently, that's for sure. So having two funds gives you kind of access to two different mentalities. Certainly people could say, well, I'd like to put some capital in one and some capital in the other. But for some folks, they are in that stage of life where what they need is that income. They need that regular payment. But for other folks, they just want to invest in something. So I love the fact that you kind of have, you know, the two personalities, the income and the growth. Talk about within those funds what the asset classes are, because it's not all mobile homes in the income fund.
Yeah, the growth fund has self-storage and multifamily. However, I will say that we're having a hard time finding multifamily assets at this moment that are having the returns that we'd like. And then the income fund has mobile home parks, self-storage, and a little bit of multifamily.
Okay, so those are all the kinds of products that have that regular recurring income. How much of the work on the units that you guys put into the funds are the value creation part? Are you buying just stabilized assets, or is there some opportunity to create that equity growth, if you will, because there's this mismanagement, or I wouldn't say mismanagement, but lazy landlords perhaps?
Yeah, landlords in mobile home parks and self-storage for years basically had the attitude of, if we build it, they will come. And that's just not necessarily true anymore. Some of these folks don't have websites, they don't have a Facebook page, they don't do any advertising at all, but they own these for cash, they've owned them for decades, and a lot of them have a lot of meat left on the bone in all three asset classes. A mobile home park we recently invested in, the operator, the asset manager that we partnered with went in and saw that there were three or four or five cars and sometimes a boat or RV or big work trailer in front of the mobile home. And he said, we got to clean this place up. And so what he did is he spent about $100,000 paving and fencing an area out front. And he said, if you've got a third or fourth or fifth car or work trailer or whatever, you've got to put it there and we're going to charge you for that. Now, when this acre is all leased up, it will basically produce $10,000 a month in revenue. That's $120,000 a year. 120% ROI on the $100,000 investment. That's all well and good, but let's go back to our value formula. Value is net operating income divided by cap rate. In a 6% cap rate world, 120,000 divided by 6%, he just created $2 million in value at the asset level. But Robert, it's even better than that, because if, let's just say theoretically, he paid $5 million for this mobile home park, that was $3 million in debt at 60% leverage, right? $2 million in equity. He just added $2 million to that equity. He doubled the value of the equity by this one change. And that doesn't include filling extra lots. And that doesn't include raising the rent up to market rate. That doesn't include a dozen other things he'll do to create value there. It's powerful. And so we are investing in income producing with appreciation upside.
You know, the other great part of that is that the park's nicer now that those cars right. and things are parked in an area that looks like it was meant for that. It's one of the brilliant things we love about real estate is you can create value, not necessarily out of nothing. Sometimes that's true, but by thinking differently. Thoughts are things, and there's not much I can do to my share of stock to create any value. That's all done outside. But in real estate, very, very hands-on. Now, let's kind of look forward, if you will. We're perhaps closer to the next recession every day, whenever that might be. And having been through this, since you've been investing for 19 years, you've been through ups and downs. Talk about why these particular assets tend to do well when we see downturns.
So mobile home parks are kind of the last stop on the way down. You know, if somebody is downsized out of their home, they might go to an apartment. If they're downsized out of their apartment, they might, in some cases, go to a mobile home. where do they go from there? Under a bridge?
Right.
I mean, honestly, mobile home parks are a great opportunity for affordable housing for a lot of people. Some of us saw the John Oliver video that was recently circulated, the HBO comedian who was, you know, characterizing mobile home parks owners as greedy and selfish and all this. But, you know, Gary Rivlin, a New York Times guy who was definitely anti-business, anti-real estate, moved into a mobile home park for a while, and he interviewed everybody he could talk to, and 100% of them were happy with the mobile home park, were happy with their life there, were happy with the operator for the changes they had made. And he actually wrote a very positive piece in the New York Times about mobile home park living, much to everyone's surprise. And so mobile home park, self-storage is similar. Like I said, if I raise the rent on an apartment, somebody might move. But if I raise the rent by 6% on a $100 self-storage unit, well, chances are someone's not going to spend a Saturday, rent a U-Haul, get their friends together to move down the street to save $6 a month, especially when they're on a month-to-month lease. And most people think, I'm only going to be there a few months anyway. And of course, they're typically there for years and years.
And I can tell you're looking right at me when you say that, because that's me. I've got more than one storage space and I've had them for years. And I'm thrilled with the value proposition. It doesn't cost very much to have that space. It's stuff I don't need this minute. I might never need, but if I do, it's there. And so I think that's another thing, is that the clientele that you have are, used the word happy, they're more willing to pay. The space rent is a small part of what their budget is for the month. What they pay for storage is a small part of their budget in their lives. So these aren't the lion's share. We often say, you know, in C-class apartments, boy, everyone begrudges paying their rent. But here, not so much.
Right. It's absolutely true. And that's one of the things I love about this. Did you know, if you look in my special report, there is a graph showing the same property net operating income increase from 2000 to recently. And you know, mobile home parks didn't have any dip whatsoever. And it's powerful. And you can see why. There's no reason there would be a dip. Affordable housing needs are real, and they're constant in a recession and not in a recession.
So if you want to learn more about mobile home parks, more detail than we could get into today, and some great stories and charts and graphs, and the report is beautiful, all you have to do is send an email to parks, that's like mobile home parks, just parks at realestateguysradio.com. You'll get Paul's report and some great information in there. But that's not all you do in the fund. We just thought that'd be a great thing to highlight, because I know listeners are interested. We haven't talked much about mobile home parks over the years, just a little bit. But the fund is for accredited investors, which means that you need to have income and or net worth requirements. Certainly, if you decide you want to get the report, they'll also get your contact information, Paul, so that they can find out the details and what the specifics are to get invested and so forth. So in our closing moments together, you've been in real estate a long time. What are some of those lessons that you've learned, or things you wish you knew back then that now you've realized?
Yeah, so one is what I said at the top of the show, which was, you know, the difference between investing and speculating. Another one is, you know, as an entrepreneur, my heart is to hit grand slams. But, you know, as investors, it's probably better to set your sights on hitting singles and doubles. This is the way people like Warren Buffett invest. And so I've learned as an investor to go for singles and doubles. Occasionally, you might get a triple or a home run, and that's great. Another thing I've learned is, in Warren Buffett's words, he said, great investors say no a lot, but the very, very best investors say no almost all the time. So I've learned to say no as a default in vetting operators, assets, and deals. And I think that if I could have told my 20-something or 30-something self that, I would have been way ahead of where I am now.
All right. Words of wisdom there. Well, it's been great to get to know you a little bit and hear about what you guys are doing, and continued success. Paul Moore, thanks for being on the program.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's been a joy being here, Robert.
Paul's from Wellings Capital. If you're interested in mobile home parks, just send a quick email to parks at realestateguysradio.com. You also get his contact information. So if you're interested in the fund, you can get those details. More when we come back, you're tuned to the Real Estate Guys Radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
When When it comes to successful rental property investing, it pays to be picky. Pick the right markets, pick profitable properties, and pick great property management. That's easier said than done, but we've got great news. Jerry Kerr and his rockstar team at Mid-South Homebuyers are going strong in Memphis, Tennessee, and Little Rock, Arkansas, too. So for a top-notch turnkey single-family home rental property, whether you're a new investor or have a large portfolio already, pick Terry Kerr and Mid-South for a truly A-plus investing experience. To learn more, send an email to midsouth@realestateguysradio.com. That's midsouth@realestateguysradio.com. Hey, it's Robert Helms. Thanks so much for listening to the show today. I want to personally invite you to come see an amazing real estate market that combines excellent cash flow, offshore diversification, and what we affectionately call lifestyle investing. Come join me from November 15th to 18th in the beautiful country of Belize. The Real Estate Guys have been bringing investors to Belize for more than 14 years now, and our discovery trip is designed to show you the market like nobody else can. Sure, Belize is breathtakingly beautiful. The people are wonderful. And wait till you taste the food. But the real opportunity is the real estate investment potential. 2018 was the biggest year in tourism Belize has ever witnessed, and this year is coming on strong. How does that translate to real estate investment? That's what you have to come see. There's all types of opportunity in Belize, including both long and short-term rentals, commercial and retail triple net properties, business opportunities, land acquisition, development, agriculture, and more. And as the only country in Latin America with English as its official language, it's easy to understand the law. Property rights are strong, and contracts are in English. And in Ambergris Key, a unique situation exists where demand for rentals continues to outstrip supply, creating a compelling environment for investors. So come see for yourself. Join me November 15th through 18th in Ambergris Key, Belize, as we study the market, learn about the sustainable drivers, and tour lots of beautiful real estate. And like all of our field trips, there are no properties for sale during the weekend. Rather, you'll meet lots of local providers that will help educate you about the market so that you can follow up with them after the trip if the market is interesting to you. But that ball's in your court. You'll receive their contact details, but they won't receive yours unless you give it to them. You've heard about Belize and the Real Estate Guys for all these years. Now come see what all the excitement is about. Plus, we'll have lots of time over meals and activities to talk about all things real estate. To get the details, go to the website at realestateguysradio.com and click on events where you'll find the Belize Discovery Trip. Once you register, you'll get information about our group hotel rates as well as travel details. So join me in Belize November 15th through 18th. It's a beautiful country with lots of amazing possibilities, and the only thing missing is you. Go to realestateguysradio.com under events. I look forward to seeing you in beautiful Belize.
Hi, this is Doug Casey, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks so much for tuning into the show. If you lack clarity in any area of your life, well, it's time to come out and create your future. We do it at the beginning of every year. It's our annual goals retreat. You get all the details at our website at realestateguysradio.com under events. Well, certainly lots to think about. From Mr. Paul Moore.
Yeah, it's such a great thing that we have the opportunity to do because we have all these brilliant people that either come to us, which is great, or will happily take our call and sit down and have a conversation with us. And we can ask them pretty much anything we want, pick their brains. And all we have to do is have a microphone on, and they get great value out of the exchange because they get to get their message out and share their wisdom. And we get to glean all that wisdom and share it with our audience. So it's an exchange of value. It's a win-win, and it's great. And in this particular case, you know, here's a guy that, like me, and I've talked about this many times, took an approach, kind of bought into that buy low, sell high as the primary way to make wealth instead of a reflection of creating value by producing income. And, you know, it took me a long time. Kiyosaki would talk to us about this all the time, and it just took me a long time to get my mind around the concept of that fundamental type of investing, because ultimately, what any investor is buying is income. And when you have a way to go in and go after an asset class or product niche or product type where you're able to have direct control over improving the operating income on that asset, now you have an opportunity to create equity at the same time. So equity and income investing aren't mutually exclusive. It's just the path to equity, true equity, real equity, is through income.
Well, the thing I like listening to Paul, you know, he is humble about the mistakes he's made. He's very methodical now about why they do what they do. And I think that's a great intersection. But they are also very clear that as the market changes, as opportunities change, they can change what they do within their various funds. And that's a great way to think as a real estate investor. If you're a passive investor, then you might want to align with a fund that has those kinds of considerations. If you're an active real estate investor, then you want to be thinking about, hey, for me, where do I want to gravitate? This balance between getting rich in a niche, becoming really good at one thing, and having at least an awareness of other types of real estate. Because otherwise, if you get too pigeonholed, it's potential that your favorite type of investment falls out of favor or there's no market for it and you have to sit it out.
Well, I mean, we like real estate because you have control over a lot of aspects, but you don't have control over all the aspects. You talked earlier, Robert, about the big picture economics. The reason we study that, that's like the ocean. You know, when you're out there as a mariner, if you will, sailing your investment property or portfolio around, you're dealing with macro factors over which you have no control. You can't control which way the wind blows, whether it's going to be storm clouds or sunny skies. You can't control the waves or the direction of the waves or the way that things are going to happen or part of the environment you're in or the ecosystem or the economy. You can't control that. But you do have to have a plan and be able to flex and move to where the opportunity is and move away from where the problems are. And so that speaks to the importance of being flexible. When we talk about markets, and we talk about this all the time, but it's worthy of repeating, it's not just geographic markets, it's demographic markets, it's people groups that you serve. You know, there's been a lot of talk about baby boomers, and there's certainly a huge opportunity in the baby boomers, and there has been for decades as they've moved through the seasons of life. Coming up now behind them are the millennials, and that's a different generation with a different set of needs, and they're in obviously a different season of life, and they look at the world a little bit differently because of the things they've seen and gone through and where they're at, student debt being a major factor for them. And so creating products and that meet the needs of a particular demographic. Then you've got the product niche. And product niches can sometimes be about meeting the needs of a demographic. Sometimes a product niche can be about getting out of or getting into the favor of government. So, for example, California joined Oregon recently in passing statewide rent control. Well, that affects certain types of real estate, but not all types of real estate. And obviously, if you are a value add investor, if you're improving the amenities and you're looking for ways to increase the income so you can increase the value, increase the equity, and provide a better product or service to your customer base, and they're willing to pay for it, when that artificial pressure comes in from the outside that says it doesn't matter what you do to the property, you're not allowed to raise the rent sufficiently, that changes how you think about the property. And you may or may not decide you want to stay in that niche. You may say, hey, you know what? I need to move over to a different niche. And that's just one example. It could be tax benefits. There's different tax benefits. You know, even just the depreciation schedules between commercial or residential. There's a lot of different factors to look at. But when we look at markets, we're talking about geographies, local economic drivers. We're talking about demographics, the people groups that you're serving. And then we're talking about product niches and what type of product are you really talking about. And all those things factor in when we talk about markets.
If mobile homes sound interesting to you, just send an email to parks@realestateguysradio.com. You get Paul Moore's report about investing in mobile home parks, and you can learn about the other things they do in their funds. Big thanks to Paul Moore for sharing his time and information with us today. Next week, it's one of our favorite shows of the year. It's Halloween Horror Stories, things that happened in real estate that went wrong, but great lessons to learn. And we have a huge list of great investors who are going to be on the program sharing their tales of woe with you. You're going to be smarter just by listening. That's next week on The Real Estate Guys. Until then, happy Halloween and go make some equity happen.
This episode of The Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life. Powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton.
Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723 extension 4. That's 888-489-7723 extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.